Patel. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So today I'm talking with Raghav Gupta. He's the co-founder of Nimble Labs. They're a startup in India creating a curry cooking robot that may help reduce time spent in the kitchen. So in this conversation, he talks about why he's doing this, how it's going so far, being part of the Bosch Tech Accelerator in Bangalore, his emotions being featured in Bloomberg, and taking part in the CNBC India Startup Competition. He also shares very interesting insights on the trip to China and talks about taking risks. And he also talks about how you can be a part of the beta testing and get 25% off when it's out and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you.
Hello, Raghav. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thanks for having me over, Neil.
Yep, super excited to talk to you today. Please tell the listeners what you're building.
So at Nimble Labs, we're trying to make it possible for all our fellow listeners to conveniently eat healthy home-cooked food every day through the use of domestic cooking robots. Cooking every day is a big, big problem. I needn't elaborate on the problem. People are leading busy lifestyles. They're growing up not knowing how to cook and are increasingly choosing to eat outside from takeaways and from restaurants every day. So the first appliance we're building is called Julia. Julia is your own personal robotic cook. It's a smart kitchen appliance that cooks food for you automatically. All you have to do is choose a recipe, load in the necessary ingredients into containers specified in the app, tap cook, and it cooks a food from start to finish. It stirs for you, it cooks for you, it puts in the right ingredients at the right time, in the right quantities, and using a bunch of sensors, monitors your food consistently, so it comes out perfectly.
How did you come up?
What happened was that my co-founder, Rohin, and I would often hang out together. Some of those days, we would go back home, and my co-founder would go back earlier, and I would ask him why, and he would tell me that he had to cook. And when I asked him, you know, to explain to me further about it, he told me that that now he and his sisters had started helping their mothers out for dinner. So they would cook dinner while the mother would cook lunch. Now, one of those days, he came to me and he said he had this idea that we could just probably automate cooking. He wasn't sure of it, but he explained that, you know, most of the cooking process in India, at least, is pretty standardized. You have an onion tomato curry paste. You have a bunch of spices. And on top of this, you add a main, which could be chicken, which could be paneer, which could be a whole bunch of vegetables, or it could just be dal. But the process is pretty standard and something that could be standardized. And we started working on it and it just worked out. That's how we started.
So is this in the market then? You know, how many have you sold and, you know, what's the price?
So we haven't started shipping yet. We're in fact in the research and development phase. So we have a fully functional prototype, but it still needs more work on the cleaning issues. On it needs to satisfy OEM requirements so it can be produced in bulk. And we still need to improve the user experience.
Okay, cool. When do you think you're going to launch this product then to the excited world?
So we plan to do a pre-sales campaign in October 2018. Sorry for that. Yeah. So that's where we plan to launch our product out, and we would be shipping around April 2019.
So are you a patient person then? That's a long time to wait, right?
Yes, that's a long time to wait, but unfortunately, hardware takes time. Even Tesla had to wait a number of years before they could take their first car out. And same for other smart kitchen appliances out there in the market. The beloved Rotimatic, for example, it's a kitchen appliance that cooks rotis for you. It took them 8 years to develop, but once they shipped, it was, nothing like it.
Okay. And why is it called Julia?
So we just like the name. Mm-hmm. We liked the personality. We thought the appliance should have a personality that could that showed that it was intelligent. It was not another equipment in your kitchen, like a juicer or a blender. It was someone or something that listened to you and cooked for you to your liking.
Mm-hmm. Who's this actually for then? Who are you actually targeting?
So we are initially we shall be targeting most Indian and Asian communities in the West, mm-hmm. primarily because unlike India, where we have easy access to domestic help, mm-hmm. That is not the case in the UK or the US. Mm-hmm. Gradually, we also start selling in India as people get familiar with the idea of appliances cooking for you. Mm-hmm. And to the world, because one-pot meals are things that can be cooked, that form a main part of the diet for a large variety of the population.
Why are you doing this?
So we're really doing this because we feel that healthy food is something which everyone should be eating. Mm-hmm. And it's not something which is very easy to prepare on a day-to-day basis, especially for, you know, my generation, for example. We grow up eating food cooked by our parents, our mothers, mm-hmm. And we never, you know, dirty our hands in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. When we go out into the world, we start working, we really, you know, forget about our health, we eat whatever is available out there for 50 rupees or less. Hmm. But once we get married, right, things start changing. Mm-hmm. We have to start worrying about our families, about our children, about our wives. And, you know, none of us, neither would I, neither would my wife know how to cook. And it needs to be something that takes care of our daily cooking. Mm-hmm. So really, I'm doing this for myself and for my generation and for...
Your future wife. And
for, yeah, really, my future wife.
Sure. This sounds quite a risky prospect. I mean, are you a risk taker?
Yes, I am a risk taker, but we also take risks in a calculated fashion. Mm-hmm. So it's a risk, but at the same time, it's a big problem that needs to be solved. And if not us, then who would do it? Mm-hmm. I mean, the world has been shaped by risk takers. Mm-hmm. Everything that you see around you, all the physical products that you see, or maybe even the software that you use, mm-hmm. was the result of someone taking a big bet mm-hmm. on solving a problem that no one was solving. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who are your favorite risk takers then?
So you've heard, probably you know, one of the favorites of everyone is Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk has taken, you know, large number of big bets, sold PayPal, and started a space business which he knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. Took over an electric car business again, of which he knew nothing about himself. Mm-hmm. And again, transforming transportation, electrification, sustainability in a manner, space travel that nobody had ever imagined. Another one of my favorite risk takers would be a friend of mine from Australia called Brendan Baker. Mm-hmm. I really admire him. Again, started from nothing, even flunked in school. But now, through his bold risks and determination, he's making a life for himself in a way that I'd never thought of.
Mm-hmm. I believe this company's been incubated at the Bosch DNA Startup Accelerator Program.
Yes. So what happened was we started our company last year in June. And our first attempt at solving the cooking problem was a robotic arm mm-hmm. that could cook food. Good for us, Bosch took notice in December last year and invited us to shift our base from New Delhi to Bangalore. Mm-hmm. And that's where we started working with one of the largest appliance makers in Europe to build our kitchen appliance. At Bosch, we changed the design of our prototype completely. From an industrial robotic arm, it now became a coffee maker like of a machine, a coffee maker kind of a machine that could go in your household and not scare you. The size got reduced a lot. We got to see how big corporations work in building these appliances. The mentorship was invaluable. And most importantly, we got exposed to the startup ecosystem of Bengaluru, which is the startup capital of India. Before coming here, I had never known what it what was meant by an ecosystem. We would just read it in the news, in the papers, but experiencing it firsthand was what I got to know when I moved here to Bangalore as part of the Bosch accelerator.
Why do you think you got into the Bosch accelerator then? Because obviously they must have a lot of companies that apply.
Yeah, about 600 companies applied, and Bosch chose about 10 to go ahead with.
Why do you think you got in then?
I think part of the reason was that the problem we were trying to solve was very big. It was something that even experts at Bosch could see. Bosch also realized that it was a business that it could, it would also want to venture in the near future. In fact, they're also investors in Rotimatic, which again is using robotics in the in domestic households. Plus, the progress that we had made in such a short span of time, 6 months, was huge. And Bosch wanted to know how startups work so fast and how they could employ those practices in their in the corporate structure that they had created for themselves.
Well, what would you say is the best advice you received at Bosch?
The best advice that we received was that the consumers do not really, you know, consumers just want their job to be done. So when we built our first proto, we were not paying attention to the consumers' needs as much as we were paying attention to the technology. And at Bosch, we realized that you know, not everyone might want a robotic arm occupying so much space in their household. That was not one perspective that we had had. A person might find a robotic arm in his household very scary and unsafe. Those are things we as engineers had not thought. So it was really the perspective that gradually opened over a period of time that we value at Bosch. If I had to name one single advice, it would be very difficult for me to pinpoint it.
What was the best thing about this accelerator then?
The best thing about the accelerator was that it helped us go as fast as we wanted to, but in the right direction. So I think we were like the plane. We were like a pilot in driving a plane at super fast speed, but probably in the wrong direction. And that's what Bosch helped us with. It helped us steer that plane in the right direction.
So is life getting easier for you then, or harder?
I think it never gets easier. And once you start selling, it gets all the more harder. But getting associated with Bosch being associated with Bosch has made things easier for us, which earlier were difficult, but at the same time has introduced us to more aspects which are difficult. But I'm sure over the days, those things will also become easier.
Excellent.
So very recently we were covered by Bloomberg.
Oh, okay.
So we had never, if we were not associated with Bosch, I think it would have been very difficult for a team to fly in from Europe all the way to India to make a 3-minute video on our cooking robot.
Mm. Excellent.
The press takes us much more seriously. There is much more credibility to the story. Mm-hmm. It has made fundraising easier. In about 2 weeks from now, we will be battling CNBC India.
Oh, wow.
For a funding of 1 crore rupees on TV. We have also been selected as one of the top early stage startups in the state of Karnataka in India, mm-hmm. and shall be receiving a generous government grant, which shall be handed to us by the chief minister himself on 18th of November this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, how do you feel about all that then?
Emotionally, there are highs and there are lows. Mm. Whenever we achieve a milestone, all of these things were targets that we achieved. Mm. We get super excited, and that's the reason I feel those milestones are very important. Mm-hmm. But then there are days when you're being rejected by investors, when you're being rejected by potential employees, by potential customers, because it takes a lot of iterations. That's when you feel low. There are times when a potential employee would, just not respond to your emails at the last minute of, closing him in. Mm. That really takes up an emotional toll on our brains. And then another important thing is that being a startup, we have limited resources and have to plan for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So unlike a corporation where you have different people handling over different things in the business, in startups we have to be lean and devise strategies not just for product development, but for marketing, for distribution, for fundraising. And all this has to be done by a very small, lean team. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That takes an emotional toll.
Yeah. What would this business look like in 10 years' time, you think?
In 10 years' time, I think there will be economies which share food amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. And when I say share food, I mean imagine a future where you can cook a recipe on smart devices, upload the recipes just like software code, mm-hmm. for others to download it on their systems and on their devices, which cooks it exactly the way you cooked it back at your home. Mm-hmm. So just like 3D printers have made it possible for one to replicate physical devices, mm-hmm. I think similarly people will be able to replicate food. So instead of watching a YouTube video of your favorite chef, mm. you will just be able to download his or her recipe and have your devices cook it exactly the same way.
Mm, wow, exciting. Well, what's your favorite food then?
I like curry chawal a lot. So mm-hmm. curry is an Indian dish, pretty famous in the north. Mm-hmm. So I like that cooked by, the hands of my mother. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think if we can replicate that, and I'm in Bangalore right now. Mm-hmm. If I could just have her send that recipe to me over the cloud, and if I could cook it over Julia, well, nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What's your least favorite food then? Anything you don't like?
No, there's no least favorite food. Okay. I think... I can eat anything as long as it is vegetarian.
Okay, that's cool. Cool. Excellent. What does your friends and family think of this, by the way?
My friends and family have been supported, very supportive over the last 18 months or so. Mm-hmm. They see strong potential. Our relatives keep pushing us to develop this as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. They say if this can solve our cooking problems, well, keep working on it. Mm-hmm. Our family has been a family of business people. Mm-hmm. So all my extended family, from my father to my uncles to my aunts, are business people. And they realize that great businesses are built by taking those chances, taking time, and they've been very supportive.
Mm-hmm. I believe you went to China and Hong Kong. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so very recently we went to China, specifically an area called Shenzhen. Mm-hmm. So Shenzhen is the mecca for hardware startups. Mm-hmm. It's the place where everything is manufactured, from your TV remote to your TV to your iPhone itself. So it's really an eye-opening place. Why we went there was to identify potential manufacturing, prototyping, and sourcing partners. Mm-hmm. Just like Silicon Valley has expertise for software, Shenzhen is a place where you have chips, literally Texas Instruments or Qualcomm chips, being sold in bulk by vendors on the street.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And if I had to find the camera of my phone, even in big offices in India, I would not be able to find it. Mm. So why we were there was primarily to identify those sourcing partners. Mm-hmm. And we plan to prototype some of our subsystems, mm-hmm, in China, surely because of their expertise and their speed. Mm-hmm. So that's what brought us there. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's something called Canton Fair.
Okay.
Canton Fair is, in a way, the world's largest trade fair.
Okay.
And that, again, is held in China. There are people from all over the world flocking to do business.
Yeah.
And they're very open to business. Even the way you do business is very unique. You don't spend more than 2 minutes on with a particular manufacturer. You just go, say hi, tell them your requirements, exchange your car, and move ahead. It's so big.
Okay. No small talk.
No small talk. You don't sit on a chair to discuss these specifics. You only do that once you're back home.
Mm-hmm. So how many people did you speak to then?
We probably spoke to over 200 people.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right. And we've been doing the same with not just vendors, but also with our potential customers. Mm-hmm. So we've, again, talked to over 100 potential customers. Mm-hmm. And I think that part is also very, very important for a startup to do. Often what happens is, I think you also are a technologist. Mm-hmm. Often what happens is that we as technologists get so engrossed in our technology that we think it's the perfect solution for people out there. And if we talk in terms of economics, there's supply and demand. And entrepreneurs in India, at least, as I've come to see, are more focused on the supply side rather than the demand side. Mm-hmm. And for entrepreneurs, I think it's very important to focus on the demand of getting the right of getting your target segment right before you start building whatever you're building.
Mm-hmm. How much will it cost?
So Julia should cost $300 and upwards, mm-hmm, depending on what variant you want to buy. Mm-hmm. So and that's how we intend to price it.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that price?
So we did an extensive study. As I told you, we talked to a lot of potential users. Mm-hmm. We told them what all Julia could do. We showed them videos. We also did a back-of-the-head bill of materials costing. Mm-hmm. And that's how we came up with the number. Mm-hmm. However, that number can vary. It can change. Mm-hmm. So that number is our preliminary estimation by talking to customers and from our own engineering calculations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last few questions then. Let's say someone's listening and they want to do what you do. What advice would you give them?
I would ask them to, just like Ganesh from FluxGen had advised on the podcast a few weeks back, I would advise them to be patient. Patience is key to building a sustainable business. I would advise them to spend more time out of their offices and their rooms. I would advise them to travel because traveling opens up your perspective like nothing else. I would advise them to talk to as many people as possible, especially people if they fall into your customer segment. I would advise them to not be stingy about equity, to be generous with equity when they're getting people on board. I think that's about it. That's all the advice I have.
What are your favorite products?
So I love Dyson. Dyson is, for those who are not aware, Dyson is a manufacturer and a designer for vacuum cleaners, for hair dryers, and a whole lot of other consumer products. So I really love the work of James Dyson and each and every product that they built. I think a lot of thought, work, and time has gone into their product. For example, I don't know if you've seen their new hair dryer.
Yes.
Or even their fans, you know, their room fans. They're unlike anything that anyone has ever built. Even the vacuum cleaners, for that matter, they're using technology that no one had even thought of, and they perform surprisingly well. So Dyson products are some of my favorite, and I think the other category is, of course, products built by the world's most valuable company, which is Apple, of course. So those two companies, I think, I really value.
Okay, last question then. For people who want more information on you and your products, how do they connect?
Okay, so I think for listeners of the Indian Startup Show, in fact, we're doing a very closed door early booking of the product. We're letting people subscribe themselves so that they can be part of the beta testing that we would be doing over the months. We would let you play with the product while it's in development, and give you a generous 25% off when it's out in the market.
Excellent.
So those who would want to get avail that offer can just reach me out with the title pre-book space TISS, TISS for the Indian Startup Show. At my email, Raghav, R-A-G-H-A-V, at nimble.in. I repeat, R-A-G-H-A-V, at nymble.in. And I would be very happy to attend to any queries that they might have.
Excellent. Raghav, thank you for coming on the Union Startup today.
Thank you so much, Neil, for having me over. And it was my pleasure talking to you.
Excellent. Thank you and goodbye.
Sure. Bye.
Thanks to Raghav for coming on the show today. To take part in the beta testing and get the 25% discount, see the show notes for more details. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a rating and review of the show. Search for the Indian Startup Show on iTunes, Stitcher and Overcast. We're also on Pocket Cast, Soundcast, Instacast, Podkicker, and Apple TV. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilbotel.co, or tweet @IndianStartupSH, or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.